But when I saw that you wrote books about human manure and composting, could you, because I know I've kept you on here probably long enough already, but could you like briefly describe how that works? And it sounds disgusting to use fecal matter, like human fecal matter. I didn't even know that was really a possibility. How does that work? Why should we do it? It seems like a perfect type of, you know, prepper into the world type of thing to start now. And what got you into that? I find that really fascinating.
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked that, because it's the same principle with the direct democracy. People have knee-jerk reactions. You know, you can't do this. It's disgusting. It won't work. You know, well, when I wrote the Humanure Handbook, it was a graduate thesis that I decided to turn into popular form. I put some cartoons in it and, you know, made some humor and whatnot. And I never thought anybody would read it, frankly. Just like this direct democracy book, I don't know if anybody's going to read that. But, and I only printed 600 copies of the Humanure Handbook. But that, and it was terrible. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. I wanted to learn how to self-publish. So the first book was pretty lousy. It was made, I made all the mistakes that you can make. But it sold 10,000 copies. So I did a second edition. It sold 10,000 copies. Now I'm up to over 90,000 copies in circulation, and it's been translated into a whole bunch of different languages. Japanese, Chinese, French, Spanish, Norwegian, Finnish, Korean, Hebrew, even. So it's an example of something that if it catches the interests of people, it becomes a popular thing. Now, what is the gist of it? The gist of it is that the excretions that come out of our body are actually resources, not waste. They're only waste if we pitch them out, throw them out, flush them away, whatever we do. If we recycle them, it turns out they have value. And what is that value? Well, you can convert anything that comes out of your body back into soil. And you can do it without odors. It's not disgusting or anything like that, using compost toilets. So what I found out when I published the book and thought nobody would be interested in this, I just wrote it because I wanted people to understand what I was doing. You know, people, I'm composting humanure, making it back into soil, and then I'm growing food with it, and then I'm eating it. You know, and to some people it's like, what? That's crazy. So, and like I said, it was a graduate thesis, so I was researching it, and I wrote it all down. I wanted people to understand that really it isn't crazy. It makes a whole lot of sense when you look into the principles and the practices. Well, what I found was, guess what? There are something like 3 billion people on the planet who don't have toilets at all. And guess what? They're really interested. So I end up traveling around the world showing people how to make compost toilets so that they can have a toilet in their hut or whatever they're living in, beside their bed, because they have trouble walking and may have, you know, one leg or whatever. And their only option is a pit latrine, which is, you know, 200 feet away because it stinks so bad. And they have to make it out there at night or in the rain or in bad weather. Or maybe they have kids, little children. All of a sudden now they have a toilet inside their hut or whatever they have. No odor. And everything that goes in that toilet is recycled back into soil that they can actually grow food with. So it's a revolution for them. In flush toilet cultures, people are generally not interested unless they have a barn, a garage, a campsite. There are lots of situations where people can use compost toilets because there's no way to use a water toilet. So that's one of the reasons why all those translations, by the way, were voluntary. Somebody in Portugal, Portuguese is another one. Somebody in Portugal read the book in English and said they want to translate it. Will I give them the translation rights? And I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. So they were all translated. I didn't make any money on the foreign editions, but at least the words getting out about the Human or Handbook, which is in its fourth. I don't know if you can see, everything looks backwards on this. In this one too, Compost Toilet Handbook.
I know regular composting, when I've tried it, it seems to take a long time. I've never been successful with it. Like the food scraps, it takes forever and you got to do it the right way. With humanure and the composting toilet, like how long from, I don't know how to say this, like your first dropping to when you can use it as soil? Is it a long time frame or is it shorter?
Well, yeah, I recommend a year. So I recommend that that your compost bin, you f make it the size, the capacity that it takes a year to fill it, and then it sits while you're filling the next one. By the time the next one is filled, the first one is ready, so you can empty it and start over again in that first bin. Now there are lots of fluctuations to that, depending on the population size. For example, that's why I wrote the Compost Toilet Handbook, because having been around the world, and we set up compost toilet systems for schools and orphanages and villages, and we're dealing with maybe 1,000 people, 1,500 people at a time. So then, under those conditions, you have to modify the system a little bit. It may take, if you're doing it, for example, school in Haiti, it took 1,500 kids. The bin, we had four bins. They were larger bins, compost bins. It took 3 months to fill one. And we're composting all the toilet material, all the organic material from the kitchens and whatnot. And we're using sugarcane bagasse, which is ground up sugarcane stalks, as the cover material. 3 months to fill a bin, 3 months to fill the next bin, 3 months to fill the next bin, 3 months to fill the fourth bin. So there's your year. By the time the fourth bin is full, the first bin is ready to empty. And I have videos on YouTube about all this stuff. In fact, those exact bins I'm talking about, that's the Amherst school in Haiti, which was bulldozed by a crooked politician. So it's not there anymore. But you can see the bins. You can see the bins filled. We're there filming it. You can't smell a thing. There's no odor whatsoever. No flies at all. And it produces just hundreds of tons of beautiful soil that can be used for gardens.
I like the thought of it. It sounds, I like that it's free. It's a really good, because gardening kind of gets expensive with soil and compost if you buy it all out of a bag. And this is so
Right.
self-sufficient, the concept. I might have to try it. Sounds kind of gross, not gonna lie, but I might have to try it soon.
Well, we all produce humanure. There's no way around it. We're either producing it or we're dead. And urine, anything coming out of your body that menstrual discharges, vomit, that's all recyclable. I know it sounds bad, but you can recycle it through a compost toilet, and it. I have a compost toilet in this room, 6 feet away from me right now. Yeah, that's the advantage of them is this is my house. This is my house office. This is where I write because it's quiet and the phone doesn't ring. My other office is up the hill and the phone rings and it's noisy all the time. That's why I'd rather do this in this space because it's so quiet. But my bedroom is right here. And I have a guest bedroom next room over. And it has a compost toilet. Excuse me. And I have one downstairs. So I have three compost toilets in my house. And there's no odor at all. No odor at all. I have two compost toilets in my business. Again, there's no odor at all. And then I have a compost toilet. I have a lake up here, a swimming lake in the middle of my property. We have 143 acres. And I have a compost toilet up there as well. So the advantage of them is you can put them anywhere. You don't have to have electricity. You don't have to have water. You don't need to vent anything. You don't need to drain anything. You don't need to plug anything in. And it's all spelled out in not only in the Humanor handbook, in the compost toilet handbook, but on the videos I have on the YouTube channel with hours of instructional videos.
How much dirt could one person produce in a year of their own Humanor?
So I've been doing this now at this location here for 45 years. And I started before that, before I came here, I started my first Humanor compost in 1977. So, and what I found is a family of, let's say a family of four, will produce about a cubic meter of finished compost in a year. So it doesn't seem like a lot, but an interesting phenomenon with compost is that it shrinks. Everything shrinks and shrinks and shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. So you keep putting into your compost bin, you keep piling it up and it keeps shrinking down. So by the time it's done, the compost, you fill that bin all the way, pile it as high as you can, full as you can get it. When it's done, it's only half full. It shrinks right on down, and it cooks. See, that's the when I started researching Humanor, it was just fascinating to me that this concept exists and hardly anybody knows about it. That there are bacteria in your gut, beneficial bacteria, that have been around since the beginning of time, that heat the compost up, the organic material up, to the extent that it destroys human disease organisms. The human disease organisms, they want to live in your body. Your body has temperature 98.6, something like that. The compost pile will go up to, it only has to go up to 110 or something like that, but it'll go up to 150 maybe degrees Fahrenheit. But at 120 degrees Fahrenheit, all the human pathogens that have been tested under these circumstances die within 24 hours. So, if you have a diseased population with intestinal parasites, roundworms, tapeworms, hookworms, or polio or cholera or anything like this, their bodily excretions, if they're composted, those disease organisms are cleaned out of it. So it's a sanitation system. Composting can be a sanitation system if you use it that way. And And I teach that I teach that worldwide. So I've been to, you know, Africa a few times, and Central America and India and Mongolia, you know, showing people how to make compost. You can also compost dead animals. You know, you have a chickens that die, or a goat that die, or dogs. The same compost bin. You dig into that, bury the animal in the compost bin. Don't bury it in the soil, and that animal will disappear in a short period of time. So, and I have videos on YouTube of me composting the raccoons. I had a raccoon problem for a while. Raccoons and possums and things like that. I think I had 26 of them in one compost bin, and then digging it out later and showing you what's there. I mean, there's nothing there. A few skulls, but nothing else. No bones, no the fur at all. Pretty much dissolved by those microorganisms. So it's a fascinating, I think that's probably why people read it, because they're learning something that they never even knew was something.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a possibility. I was like, wait, is that title really what I think it is? And then I looked it up on Amazon. It's like, whoa, this is really talking about using poop as fertilizer here from people.
And, you know, when I go around the world and I'm talking to these people in who open defecate, you know, people, there are people, they have nothing. They have a hut. Might be a tarp strung over sticks. And I show them how to make a compost toilet, and they look at me and they say, I never knew this was possible. I never heard of this before. No, they haven't. Most people haven't. But once you show them how simple it is, that they don't have to go out to a pit latrine, it changes their life. It's revolutionary. And it's very satisfying to me to be able to implement that change in people's lives around the world. The pit latrines are terrible. They're just teeming with maggots. They breed flies by the billions. They pollute the groundwater. They stink like hell. And this is what billions of people use still in the world. So I'm trying to get the word out about that. I have been, really, since 1995, when I published the first edition of the Humanure Handbook. So, you know, it's, I think the direct democracy is kind of a similar thing. It's a new thing nobody really heard about or talked about or knew you could do. But I think once people think about it and realize it is something that's doable in today's world with our technology, I think it will catch on.
Yeah, the direct democracy gives you the power back. And same thing with the humanure, like you have the power to cheaply and easily grow your own food, which you can do that. You really can not only make yourself healthier, but just detach from this weird food system we have in this country.
And, you know, if these idiots who control the government start World War III, what are you going to do for sanitation? You know, what are you going to do if there's no electricity? What do you do when a hurricane hits, or a tornado, or, an earthquake? What do you do for sanitation? What can you do that's safe, ecologically safe, and hygienically safe, and pleasant? You know, compost toilets aren't unpleasant. They're pleasant. I got started working with larger populations after the earthquake in Haiti, which was, I believe, 2010. And I went down there with Patricia Arquette. She's an actress, a Hollywood actress. I don't watch TV, like I said. She called me up one night, wanted to know if I'd go to Haiti. And I said, yeah, why not? Because I already been to Mongolia. You know, I got a call to go there, and I thought, you know, this is nuts, going to Mongolia and trying to make compost because there's no trees. There's no bushes. But anyway, I went there, and it turned out it was a good thing, a very important learning experience for me. And then when I went to Haiti with Patricia and her two brothers, we did some pretty nice stuff, and it's I'm glad that I got involved in that. And of course, that's enabled other people to train other people to do the same kind of work other places in the world. I haven't been traveling much when the lockdown started. I've only been out of the country now a few times since all the lockdowns and stuff. I don't want to.
Don't want to be trapped somewhere else when the next one happens, right?
Yeah, honestly, I never got any injections. I never wore a mask, and I have no intentions of doing any of that stuff. And you know, if it's another mass insanity event, I'm just going to lay low until it passes.
Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.